In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Mother, the Virgin Mary, has appeared many times in various places throughout the world during the more than 2,000 years of Christian history. These apparitions of the Virgin Mary are circumscribed almost exclusively within the framework of the Catholic Church. With regard to the apparitions, the Church has always adopted a prudent approach. A few apparitions have been officially accepted by the Church, but even in this case, the Church never applies the judgment of infallibility. They are not considered dogmas of faith, and therefore the faithful are not obliged to believe in them. However, it would be very unreasonable for us to forget about them and their messages or not believe them. In this regard, Father René Laurentin, famous French theologian and Mariologist, used to say, "If we know that a person has taken the plane to meet us, we usually go to the airport instead of saying, 'I don't think it's true. It could be fake news, or the flight could be canceled, and I don't want to risk being disappointed.' These words have no meaning for the one who loves. That is why negative opinions when speaking about Marian apparitions today seem strange to those who truly love the Virgin Mary. And furthermore, they cultivate indifference towards God, Jesus Christ, and the Virgin Mary." In the theological commentary of Cardinal Ratzinger's, referring to Pope Benedict XVI, regarding any private revelation, he says, "The private revelation function is not to complete the definitive revelation of Christ, but to help to live it more fully at a certain time in history. Private revelation is an aid to faith. It can be a valid aid to better understand and live the gospel in the present moment. Therefore, it should not be ruled out. It is a help that is offered, but it is not mandatory to use it." In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son. Christ, the Son of God made man, is the Father's one perfect and unsurpassable word. In him, he has said everything. There will be no other word than this one. St. John of the Cross, among others, commented strikingly on Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In giving us his Son, his only word, for he possesses no other, he spoke everything to us at once in this sole word. And he has no more to say, because what he spoke before to the prophets in parts, he has now spoken all at once by giving us the all who is his Son. Any person questioning God or desiring some vision or revelation would be guilty not only of foolish behavior, but also of offending him by not fixing his eyes entirely upon Christ and by living with a desire for some other novelty. Catechism of the Catholic Church, 65. The Christian economy, therefore, since it is the new and definitive covenant, will never pass away, and no new public revelation is to be expected before the glorious manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet even if revelation is already complete, it has not been made completely explicit. It remains for Christian faith gradually to grasp its full significance over the course of the centuries. Catechism of the Catholic Church, 66. Throughout the ages, there have been so-called private revelations, some of which have been recognized by the authority of the Church. They do not belong, however, to the deposit of faith. It is not their role to improve or complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help live more fully by it in a certain period of history. Guided by the magisterium of the Church, the sensus fidelium knows how to discern and welcome in these revelations whatever constitutes an authentic call of Christ or his saints to the Church. Christian faith cannot accept revelations that claim to surpass or correct the revelation of which Christ is the fulfillment, as is the case in certain non-Christian religions, and also in certain recent sects which base themselves on such revelations. Catechism of the Catholic Church, 67. Garabandal is a rural village in the Peña Sagra mountain range of northern Spain. Marie Loli Mazon, Jacinta Gonzalez, Marie Cruz Gonzalez, and Conchita Gonzalez said they had received several apparitions and messages from the Archangel St. Michael and Our Mother the Virgin Mary, under the title of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Our Mother the Virgin Mary made almost 3,000 public apparitions between the years 1961 and 1965. Catholics have since been reminded by the Roman hierarchy that the Garabandal apparitions are in no way forbidden and in no way approved by the Church. In the Garabandal apparitions, the visionaries learned about the warning, the miracle, and the great punishment or chastisement. In this video, we will talk specifically about this last act of mercy, which is the warning, And in future videos, we will talk about the miracle and the great punishment or chastisement. On October 18, 1961, our Holy Mother, the Virgin Mary, said in San Sebastian de Garabandal, "You must avoid the wrath of God on you with your efforts. If you ask for forgiveness with your sincere souls, He will forgive you. I, your mother, for intercession of the Archangel Saint Michael, I want to tell you to make amends. You are already in the last warnings. I love you very much, and I do not want your condemnation. Ask us sincerely, and we will give it to you. You must sacrifice more. Think of the Passion of Jesus." The warning announced by the Virgin Mary in Garabandal will be an event which is fruit of the immense mercy of God, as our Lord Jesus Christ said years before to St. Faustina Kowalska, "Before coming as a just judge, I will come as King of Mercy." The objective of this divine intervention is to correct the consciousness of the world, giving us the opportunity to seek and achieve a true conversion in our lives before the end of the era arrives. The warning will be an unprecedented event in the history of humanity, a phenomenon of unknown nature to science that comes directly from God and that will have a great repercussion on Earth. It will be visible to the human eye, but it will also be an invisible force that will stir the conscience of men, causing in human beings a great emotional, psychological, and spiritual shock. Nevertheless, it will not produce any direct physical damage. However, humanity will have a clear understanding of God and of sin, broadening the spiritual dimension and the understanding of the magnitude of the distance we have created from God because of our sins. In other words, this warning will be a great test for the conscience of humanity. It will not be, however, something that will alter the course of the catastrophic events that we must confront. Rather, it will be an opportunity to change our view concerning this reality, being able to gain from it immense spiritual benefits from God. During the warning, everyone will see and understand how they offended and are offending God, and which grace they have lost or won, the truth of the origin of the Catholic faith and its supremacy among other beliefs. All people of any age who have sinned will experience this act of God's mercy, in which our sins will be shown to us, the corresponding punishments for those sins, and where we would have to go, heaven, purgatory, or hell, if we actually died in that moment. Each person will come to understand that God is God, and no one will be placed before Him. God is and can only be in the most exalted and holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no other God. There is only one God. Each person will know his faults and that God is just in his punishment. Our Holy Mother, the Virgin Mary, will be with us as the morning star, as our Mother of Mercy, and by her tears, prayers, and apparitions throughout many centuries, she won for us to give us the opportunity to reconcile with God and ask forgiveness for our sins during this immense act of God's mercy and then through the sacrament of reconciliation. But due to all the situations that will accompany the warning, it will be difficult to do it later. That is why it is important to prepare now. This event, extensively revealed by God to many saints and instruments of God around the world, is not actually widely publicly known, which at the same time is not quite believable by others. Undoubtedly, we can ask ourselves, why is it that something of such an enormous magnitude has remained silent? Perhaps the response is because it has not been linked to science, because it lacks tangible elements. Also, because the Garabandal apparitions are in no way sanctioned or approved by the Church, which at the end remains solely on men of faith. Conchita, one of the Garabandal visionaries, said, "I could not say what the warning will consist of, because she," referring to the Virgin Mary, "has not ordered me to say it. And when will it be? She has not told me, so I don't know. I do know that it will be visible to everyone. It will be a direct work of God and will take place before the miracle. I don't know if people will die. They can only die when they see it of shock." It is known that possibly there will be people who die of shock during the warning because we will see our conscience before the justice of God, what we have done wrong and what we have failed to do. In a word, we will live a kind of personal judgment in life. In a letter, Conchita said, "The warning is like a punishment for the good and the bad, for the good to bring them closer to God and for the bad to announce that the end of the era is coming and that these are the last warnings." This event will also be something external to us that will happen in the sky. A luminosity will be seen, accompanied by a burning fire that will be felt throughout the Earth. In an interview carried out in 1977, Conchita pointed out, "For me, it is like two stars that collide with each other and make a huge noise and give off great light, but they do not fall. It will not hurt us physically, but we are going to see it. At that moment, we will see our conscience. We will see all the bad of our actions and the good that we have stopped doing." Another of the visionary girls, Mary Lowley, in some interviews carried out between the years 1975 and 1982, said, "All I can say is that the day is very close and that it is very important that we prepare because it will be something terrible. It will make us aware of all the evil we have done. Everyone will experience it, wherever they are and whatever their condition is or their knowledge of God. It will be a personal and inner experience. It will be as if the world has stopped, but no one will be aware of that because everyone will be completely absorbed and living their own experience. It will be like an internal feeling of sorrow and pain for having offended God. God will help us to see clearly the damage we do to Him and all our wrongdoings. He will help us to feel this inner pain because many times when we do something wrong, we limit ourselves to apologizing with words only in a superficial manner. But now, thanks to the warning, God will help us to physically feel that deep pain. For all this, the visionary of Garabandal recommends to us, do a lot of penance, make sacrifices, visit the Blessed Sacrament every day you can, pray the Holy Rosary daily. At this point, we must also highlight in a special way the great gift that God has granted us with the Sacrament of Penance. The Catechism of the Church 1422 says, "Those who approach the Sacrament of Penance obtain pardon from God's mercy for the offense committed against Him and are at the same time reconciled with the Church which they have wounded by their sins and which by charity, by example, and by prayer labors for their conversion." About the time when this event will take place, Mary Lowley said, "It will seem that the communists have taken over the whole world, and it will be very difficult to practice religion, for priests to say Mass, or for the people to open the doors of churches. The Pope will not be able to be in Rome openly either. Do you understand me? He will also be persecuted and will have to hide like everyone else." Jacinta, another of the visionary girls from Garabandal, in an interview in 1983 replied, "The Virgin Mary said that the warning would come when the situation was at its worst. It will not be only about religious persecution, because many will have already stopped practicing the religion." In the last apparition of the Virgin Mary to Conchita on November 13, 1965, the Virgin told her, "Conchita, I am not coming only for you, but I am coming for all my children, with a desire to bring them closer to our hearts." Our Lord Jesus Christ also said to St. Faustina Kowalska, "My heart overflows with great mercy for souls, and especially for poor sinners. If only they could understand that I am the best of fathers to them, and that it is for them that the blood and water flowed from my heart as from a fount overflowing with mercy." Diary 367. Jesus also said to St. Faustina, "He who refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice." Diary 1146. "Mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy." Diary 300. "Let all mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy. It is a sign for the end times. After it will come the day of justice." Diary 848. Servant of God, Sister Lucia of Fatima, in one of the letters to Father Agustin Fuentes on May 22, 1958, said, "Father, Our Lady is very unhappy because her message of 1917 has not been heeded. Neither the good ones nor the bad have heeded. The good go their way without worrying and do not follow the heavenly rules. The bad go by the wide path of perdition without taking into account the punishments. Believe, Father Augustine, God our Lord will soon punish the world. The punishment will be material, and imagine how many souls will fall into hell if we do not pray and do penance. This is the cause of Our Lady's sadness. Father Augustine, tell everyone that Our Lady has told me so many times. Many nations will disappear from the face of the earth. Nations without God will be the scourge chosen by God to punish humanity if we, through prayer and the most holy sacraments, do not obtain the grace of conversion." Father Augustine, it is necessary to tell the people that they should not be waiting for a call to pray and do penance, neither from the Supreme Pontiff, nor from the bishops, nor from the parish priests, nor from the superior generals. It is now time for each one, on his own initiative, to carry out holy works and reform his life according to the calls of our Mother, the Virgin Mary. The devil wants to take over consecrated souls. The devil works to corrupt them, to lead others to the final impenitence. The devil uses all the tricks, suggesting even updating the religious life. The devil tries to sterilize the interior life in the laity and the total surrender to God with many pleasures and diversions. Remember, Father Augustine, that two events contributed to sanctify Jacinta and Francisco Marto: the affliction of Our Lady and the vision of hell. The Virgin Mary finds herself between two swords. On one hand, she sees humanity stubborn and indifferent to the threats of punishments. On the other, she sees that we trample the holy sacraments, despising the coming punishment and remaining incredulous, sensual, and materialistic. Our Lady has expressly told me, "We are approaching the last days," and she has repeated it to me three times. Father Augustine, it is urgent that you realize the terrible reality. Fear should not control us, as it is only an urgent call, because since the Virgin Mary has granted great efficacy to the Holy Rosary, there is no material or spiritual problem, national or international, that cannot be solved with the Holy Rosary and with our sacrifices. Praying the Holy Rosary with love and devotion will console the Virgin Mary by wiping away so many tears from her Immaculate Heart. This letter, written by the servant of God, Sister Lucia of Fatima, to Father Agustin Fuentes, proves that much of what was said has already been fulfilled. In 1836, Blessed Anna Maria Taigi, a mystic of the Church, received a revelation about this event. "There will be a moment of illumination of the consciences, where each person will see himself as God sees him. From this illumination will result the salvation of many souls, because many will repent as a result of this warning, of this miracle of self-illumination." In the sacred scriptures, we can verify the veracity of what was said about the great punishment or the chastisement and the 3 days of darkness from the apparitions of Fatima, La Salette, Akita, Dozole, and other places. "So it will be throughout the country," declares Yahweh Sabaoth. "Two-thirds in it will be cut off and the other third will be left." Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8. "On that day," declares the Lord Yahweh, "I shall make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight." Amos chapter 8, verse 9. "Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Also, it could be found in the following verses. In the event of the great punishment or chastisement for humanity, there will be first a warning and then a great miracle to give everyone the opportunity to convert, as stated in the apparitions of Garabandal, Medjugorje, Umbe, El Escorial. However, in the worst case, it will not be the end of the world, but it will be the end of this era. After the great punishment or chastisement, a glorious resurrection of the Church will come and a new world of peace and love will dawn. The Church will have been renewed, and Jesus will triumph in the world through the Immaculate Heart of the Virgin Mary. Of course, we must not forget that the great punishments are conditional if men do not convert. In other words, punishments are conditioned according to the behavior of humanity. For this reason, dates were not set and won't be set. Father Stefano Gobbi on June 4, 1995 said, "Miraculous tongues of fire will descend again on the Church and on all humanity. Tongues of divine fire will bring warmth and life to a humanity currently frozen by selfishness and hatred, by violence and wars. Tongues of fire will descend to illuminate and sanctify the Church, which lives the dark hour of Calvary and is beaten in its shepherds, wounded in the flock, abandoned and betrayed by its own, exposed to the impetuous wind of errors, invaded by the loss of faith and apostasy. Tongues of fire will descend on all of you, my poor children, so deceived and seduced by Satan and by all evil spirits, who in these years have obtained their great triumph. And you will be illuminated by this divine light, and you will see yourself in the mirror of the truth and the holiness of God. It will be like a small judgment, that will open the door of your heart to receive the great gift of divine mercy. Then the Holy Spirit will perform in everyone's heart and life the new miracle of universal transformation. Sinners will be converted. The weak will have support. The sick will be healed. Those who are far away will return to the Father's house. The separated and divided will come to full unity. In this way, the prodigy of the second Pentecost will be done. The following is very important. Have a life of prayer with love, because prayer is the food of the soul and spirit. Without prayer, we cannot live spiritually, and we will gradually die in the soul. Prayer is the breath of the soul, the oxygen of all supernatural life, the expression of our love for God, the fuel of all our activity. If we get used to praying sincerely, we will soon feel how our lives are deeply and clearly transformed. Prayer marks with its indelible stamp the actions and manners of men. Prayer is as real a force as the law of gravity. Prayer is an act proper to the mature man that is indispensable for the full development of the personality. Prayer is like opening a bottle of perfume so that its fragrance extends throughout the day. The whole day should be perfumed by the morning prayer. Therefore, daily prayer is essential. Its effects are not only beneficial for the soul, but also for the body. Have an intense sacramental life, especially a Eucharistic life, because the sacraments are sensible and effective signs of God's grace, and through them, divine life is granted. In other words, they offer to the believer to be and to live as children of God. The last act of mercy, or the warning, will be like our own personal judgment. It is very important as a preparation to make a good confession of one's life, asking the Holy Spirit for all his help so that we can make a good examination of conscience, reach a true contrition for our sins, a true purpose of amendment, and we can fulfill the penance in a true spirit of reparation. Live the Word of God, because it is like a love letter from our Father God to guide us along the path of life in the midst of so many temptations and difficulties. As the Psalms chapter 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." Now it is important to take into consideration that in order not to be mistaken, it is necessary to interpret the sacred scriptures well, because in all his letters, there are of course some passages which are hard to understand. And these are the ones that uneducated and unbalanced people distort in the same way as they distort the rest of scripture to their own destruction. It must be interpreted according to the feeling of the church, that is, in the church of the living God, pillar and support of the truth. The word of God can enlighten you to trust, to praise, to fight, or to overcome temptations and continue on the path of good. The letter to the Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us, "The word of God is something alive and active. It cuts more incisively than any two-edged sword. It can seek out the place where soul is divided from spirit or joints from marrow. It can pass judgment on secret emotions and thoughts." Then what great help we have in the Word of God, together with prayer and the sacraments, will enable us to reach day by day the holiness to which God has called us, and which will allow us to live the warning as a happy event of meeting with our beloved God. We have to do reparation and be consistent. All sin produces a guilt and a punishment. The sacrament of confession or penance erases the guilt, but not the punishment. So in order to enter heaven, that punishment must be repaired in this life or in purgatory. If we do reparation in this life, it will assure us that when we die, we spend less time in purgatory, or in the best of cases, that we go directly to heaven. Let's remember what the Catechism of the Catholic Church 2487 says. Every offense committed against justice and truth entails the duty of reparation, even if its author has been forgiven. When it is impossible publicly to make reparation for a wrong, it must be made secretly. If someone who has suffered harm cannot be directly compensated, he must be given moral satisfaction in the name of charity. This duty of reparation also concerns offenses against another's reputation. This reparation, moral and sometimes material, must be evaluated in terms of the extent of the damage inflicted. It obliges in conscience. St. John of the Cross said, "In the evening of our life, that is, our death, we will be judged on love alone." So basically, what is going to determine the salvation of our soul is how we decide to live our lives, if we live it loving God and our neighbor or not. But in order to come to love like Christ, which is the goal, seeking at all times to do good, and not the apparent good, we need the help of the Holy Spirit, and therefore of importance is a life of prayer and sacraments. we must also be consistent in our lives as Christians. In other words, we must put into practice what we believe and preach, above all, true charity. Many claim to be Christians, but their lives say totally the opposite. That is why the Apostle St. James says in chapter 2, verses 17 to 18, "In the same way, faith, if good deeds do not go with it, is quite dead. But some may say, 'So you have faith and I have good deeds? Show me this faith of yours without deeds then. It is by my deeds that I will show you my faith.' And if we follow his advice, when the moment comes, we will be able to hear the voice of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ, who will tell us, 'Come, you whom my Father has blessed, take as your heritage the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world.'" Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. "Have mercy on me, O God, in your faithful love. In your great tenderness, wipe away my offenses. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I am well aware of my offenses. My sin is constantly in mind. Sacrifice to God is a broken spirit, a broken, contrite heart you never scorn." Psalms 51. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.